here, coming to you from this very cold, evil city, to talk to you about the things that we need to talk about. Well, you know, the big subject in the press today is race. The race in the race. The race for the Republican and Democratic presidential nominations is underway. And in the race for the Democratic presidential nomination, the issue of race is very much becoming the issue. I don't know what to make of it, folks, because, you know, Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton are hardly racists. But the mass media is now telling us that Bill and Hillary Clinton are exploiting racial issues in an attempt to win her the Democratic presidential nomination. Well, what's interesting, of course, is that Hillary Clinton's black supporters are coming up and saying, well, that's not true. Nobody here is exploiting the racial issue, whereas the people, of course, in Barack Obama's campaign organization are indeed suggesting that Hillary and Bill, who has often been described as America's first black president, a label he seems to revel in, a label that even Hillary has joked about in her campaign, well, they are busy denying that they are not racists. Well, you know, I tell you, folks, these allegations and counter-allegations are kind of interesting and amusing from one perspective, that is, to see the Clintons being accused of being racists, or if not being racists, exploiting racial tensions and racial issues. But on the other hand, as I have mentioned, or I should say, as I mentioned in several conversations with Mark Glenn over the last week or so, I have suspected for a long time that there is some sort of hidden element in the Democratic presidential primary race, no pun intended, that involves... Well, let's put it this way. I've said for a long, long time, let's be blunt about it. I've said for a long, long time that the Jewish power interests in this country really don't like Hillary Clinton. They don't trust her. While the mass numbers of Jewish voters in this country may be inclined to support Hillary, and I would be inclined to think that they would be more inclined to support Hillary more so than they would be willing to support a black man, or whatever you want to classify Barack Obama as being. But I do believe that the higher-level Jewish money powers in this country really don't trust Hillary Clinton, and that is part of the reason why Barack Obama's campaign has been propped up in an effort to undermine Hillary Clinton. No, I'm not saying Hillary Clinton is great. I'm not saying Hillary Clinton is going to save America. I can hear you people out there saying that now. Oh, Piper thinks Hillary Clinton's good. No, I didn't say that, folks. I'm just saying that I don't think she has the full level of support that many people tend to believe that she has from the organized Jewish interests in this country. And that's why I believe they've propped up Barack Obama as an attempt to undermine her. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Attention, this is an extremely urgent Republic Broadcasting News Bulletin. If you're interested in suppressed natural cures, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Listen closely. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test an amazing blacklisted herbal product considered to be the single most powerful traditional remedy on Earth. In fact, medical studies in other countries have been conducted on the astonishing effects this rare mineral-like compound has had on arthritis, obesity, energy, memory, and even reproductive health. Yet, because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made at this time. However, it is still legal to own this compound, and right now a very small amount is being made available to RBN listeners in what's being called the most amazing and unusual offer ever made on radio. To claim your supply as an RBN listener, simply go to www.blacklistedherb.com. That's blacklistedherb.com. Shipments will be filled on a first-come, first-served basis, so it's important that you move quickly. www.blacklistedherb.com or call 877-327-0365.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here, coming to you from Washington. You know, the number here, if you want to call in, it's 800-313-9443. We have open phones here. Right now, we're just reflecting on the oddities and vagaries of the presidential campaign. Presidential race, wherein the race in the Democratic Party is now becoming devoted to the subject of race. And lo and behold, here's Bill Clinton, said to be America's first black president, being accused of racism. Now, you know, we all know that the term racism is so constantly overused and overrated, you know, and there are professional blacks out there who are looking for racists under every bed. You know, so we're accustomed to all this. I mean, you know, then we have the Reverend Al Sharpton, who's constantly grinding on and exploiting racial tensions. Okay, we have that. But then we have this situation where Bill Clinton, of all people, is being accused, along with his wife Hillary, the presumed next Democratic presidential nominee, of using race in the campaign against Barack Obama. And of course, you know, what we do find is that there are many black leaders supporting Obama and many black leaders supporting Hillary Clinton. You know, the whole thing is very, very interesting. But as I say, I don't think the powers that be in this country really want either of them. I think that they are using the two to beat each other up. And, you know, and Hillary and Obama are obliging in beating each other up. You know, there's a lot of people out there in radio land who believe that this is all a scripted stage play, that Barack Obama, and how does he pronounce it? Barack Obama? Barack Obama? I don't even know how he pronounces the name. That's how much television I watch, ladies and gentlemen. But there are many people out there who believe that Obama and Clinton are really just shadow boxing, and that they were both sat down in a room somewhere by the Illuminati or by, I don't know who, by the Rothschilds or by the Trilateral Commission or the Council on Foreign Relations or the Committee of 300 or whoever you want to make your favorite villain of the day. There are people who believe that Obama and Clinton were set down and told to go through this long exercise of a presidential campaign, and that it's already been pre-planned, and that, you know, whoever becomes the nominee may or may not be the winner, and that, well, I don't believe that, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, I saw the look in Hillary Clinton's face, and I saw the look in Bill Clinton's face after the Iowa caucuses. Those were pretty unhappy people. And the tone that they have adopted in dealing with Obama is the tone, I think, of people who are not so sure of themselves. And, of course, Barack Obama looked rather wounded after he lost the New Hampshire primary. So, folks, as much as I believe that so much of what we do see in public life is scripted, I think there is a certain amount of reality to what we see during these campaigns. So that having been said, I'm just throwing that out there. We have some callers lining up. I don't know if they're calling in to talk about Dear Hillary and Dear Barack. They're free to talk about it if they want. If not, some other subject is fine. But in any case, I do think there's much more to the presidential race at hand. Likewise with the Republican Party. I tend to believe that John McCain will probably end up the Republican presidential nominee at this point. And I think we can safely bet that Ron Paul is not going to be. I don't think really any of us out there truly ever thought he could get the nomination. But be that as it may, it's all up to Ron Paul now to do what he will with what remains of his campaign money and with what remains of his presidential candidacy. I understand he's now marked Martin Luther King Day as a fundraising day in honor of Martin Luther King, and now a lot of people who are upset about Ron Paul doing that, they're urging people to support David Duke's fundraising for a new printing of David Duke's book. I'm not sure if it's My Awakening or Jewish Supremacism, but obviously Ron Paul has upset a lot of people with his presumptuous, or I should say presumptive, support or honoring of Martin Luther King. I've always had this attitude about Martin Luther King that I'm not black. So, you know, I don't consider him a particular icon, but I can understand why black Americans would consider Martin Luther King an icon and why they would probably prefer to have him as a national hero to be honored with a federal holiday as opposed to George Washington Carver. Now, I hear a lot of white folks say, well, George Washington Carver was a far more honorable man than Martin Luther King, so therefore we shouldn't have a Martin Luther King holiday. Well, that's not an argument or anything that I feel like getting involved with. But I just think, again, it all comes back to this squabble over race that is so prevalent in this country. It's another one of those subjects that whatever you say on the matter, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. I've taken a lot of heat from people in my audience for my criticisms of an icon of the white nationalist movement, namely, I should say, two icons of the white nationalist movement, Herrnstein and Murray, the authors of The Bell Curve. When that book, The Bell Curve, came out, everybody was hooping it up and hollering and saying, thank God these Ivy League scientists have finally come around to our point of view. What a lot of these folks didn't seem to recognize was that Herrnstein and Murray, Herrnstein, of course, being obviously Jewish, Mr. Murray being a self-proclaimed Gentile, they were writing a book that proclaimed that the Jews were superior to all others. Murray most recently having said that this doesn't surprise him because, after all, the Jews are God's chosen people. But the white folks who were reveling in the Herrnstein and Murray claims that blacks were inferior to whites never seemed to understand that these same Ivy League academics who became their icons were actually saying that white people in general were inferior to Jews in general, intellectually anyway. Well, I'm going on and on here when we have some callers patiently waiting, and I think I'm just going to go ahead and bring them up. We do have a break coming up in a minute or so, so I'm going to ask Brian from Pennsylvania to come on up and tell Brian to be patient if we have to cut him off. Brian, are you there?
I'm here, Mike.
Hey, Brian. What's going on?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm getting through this cold weather. I wish I was in Southern California right now, but I ain't, so there's not much I can do about it.
Hey, Mike, I got the latest issue of Shalom Magazine, the journal of the local Jewish community.
What do they have to say?
Well, I wanted to bring something to your attention. On page 3, a article, about a 600-page article by one Jeff Jacoby, who writes for the Boston Globe.
Okay, that name sounds familiar. Go ahead, yeah.
Well, this all ties into your when you talked about the menorah being lit on the White House.
Okay.
Okay, now the deal here is that this guy was invited on the seventh day of Hanukkah to attend a reception inside the White House to celebrate the menorah being lit inside in a kind of a private ceremony. He was one of the attendees. Of course, in the article, the first sentence mentions the word Auschwitz, just to give you some idea of where...
That's interesting. Okay.
Yeah, and of course, Daniel Pearl's parents, Ruth and Judea, were there to add some spice to the evening. But what I wanted to bring to your attention and is basically that while Jeff Jacoby was strolling around the White House, gazing at the portraits of the past presidents and first ladies, he was listening to the Marine Corps band play that old time-honored favorite, "It Brings a Tear to the Eye of Any True American, I Have a Little Dreidel."
You know, I have to confess, I had never heard of that song till I was in college, and an anti-Semitic associate of mine was singing it, and he was saying, "Don't you know this song? Don't you know this song? We sang this in school."
Well, yeah, of course, the dreidel goes back to Hanukkah because
right,
when
exactly
that,
mm-hmm.
when that miracle occurred, the according to the calendar I have from the chosen people, the dreidel was used. They would hide the Torah, which they weren't allowed to read, when the inspectors came, and they hid the Torah and they play with their dreidel.
Well, this was. You know, but see, this again, this goes to show you that, you know, these strange little ceremonial aspects of that religion, you know, and we talked about this, I think it was Jim from Texas mentioned this, if it wasn't on my show, he had called in possibly to Hashem Talawi's show the other day and pointed this out that, well, here we go to the break. More about that when we come back. Stay on there, Brian. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington. We are going to a break. Listen very carefully, folks, to the commercials that you're about to hear.
Are Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here on the Republic Broadcasting Network at republicbroadcasting.org. Just talking right now with Brian from Pennsylvania. Before we went to the break, I was just getting ready to point out to Brian that one of our regular callers, Jim from Texas, has very rightly pointed out that a lot of these Jewish holidays, including Hanukkah, but more notably Purim, they all seem to be celebrations of violence against non-Jews. And, and here we have Hanukkah, one of those celebrations actually being celebrated in the White House. Yet I don't know, and that's a real religious holiday, whereas the way that Christmas is celebrated in America today, it's often de-religionized. But be that as it may, Brian, go ahead. You were making a point there, and then I interrupted you.
Well, Hanukkah is when they defeated the Maccabees, the Syrians, and it's just another one of those.
The holidays are very warlike. I mean, Purim is the celebration of the slaughter of 75,000 Persians. I mean, I'm not a real religious person, but I know enough about Christian religious holidays to know that. That the Christian religious holidays are not celebrations of violence and the defeat of people what can I say? But it's interesting though, Brian. These kind of things that you find in these magazines like this magazine you were talking about, you know, I often find that I can get more out of reading Jewish newspapers here in the United States and Israeli publications than I get out of reading the American media, at least in the sense that a lot of times what you read in their publications kind of eventually is reflected in the American mass media. It's almost as though the American mass media takes its lead from the Jewish publications, which decide what's important and what isn't. And then the publications which are designed for mass distribution in this country, then that's when we get to hear what the real news is. What do you think?
Well, absolutely. I look forward to Shalom magazine because it's such a breath of air. I don't read any mainstream magazines or watch any television whatsoever. So my news strictly comes from the web, and I spend a lot of time, well, not a lot of time, but time on Jerusalem Post and Haaretz and all those news avenues, because I figure I'm getting more direct news than anything filtered through the American press.
Yeah, and, you know, I tell you what's interesting, you know, the late Israel Shahak, who's often quoted by people here in the United States and around the world who are concerned about intrigues within Israel itself, he has pointed out that what's even more interesting is the Hebrew language press in Israel, which is even more direct and aimed more directly to Israelis and to Jews who can read Hebrew, and that their publications are even, as I say, I'm repeating myself, but they're even more revealing. That a lot of times the English language press in Israel is kind of written for, you know, kind of for world consumption and particularly American consumption. But if you really want to know what's going on, Israel Shahak always said, you need to read the Hebrew language press. And, you know, right now I just don't have the time to study Hebrew. Otherwise, I would consider it.
for example, in this Jeff Jacoby article, I'm quoting Bush here. He says, Bush said, quote, many of these men and women fled from religious oppression in countries like Iran and Syria and the Soviet Union. Well, I think those are on they're the targets, aren't they?
Well, you know, that's interesting. You're exactly right. Those three countries are right up there on the depending on what the particular mood in Tel Aviv and in Midtown Manhattan and in Beverly Hills and Palm Beach. It has varied over the years whether Iraq or Iran was at the top of the list. You know, Syria has always been up there in number two or three spot. And then, of course, you know, Russia, since they gained their independence and now they're under the leadership of this nationalist, Vladimir Putin, Russia is quickly moving up to the top of the list of the targets. In fact, it's funny because just this afternoon, again, referring back to that same conversation I was having with Mark Glenn and I were indeed talking about that. He's been doing a lot of research into the subject, and, you know, it's an area, you know, and I've talked about it here on the show before, Brian, it's an area that so many of these people who are still being misled by the John Birch Society, they don't seem to understand that Putin is not the New World Order. Putin is standing up against the New World Order, and that's precisely why he's the target of rhetoric coming out of George W. Bush in speaking to this group right here, as it's reflected in this Jewish magazine. You know, people have to kind of look at the bigger picture and forget about the past and look at things as they are. And one way to do it is to follow these very kind of publications, because they give you the insight. All right, Brian, we're going to the break here. I want to thank you for your call. We've got somebody else monitoring the real news as it is out there, Brian in Pennsylvania. Well, we will continue our pursuit of the truth, or what we perceive to be the truth, when we come back. Stay tuned. We got some callers lined up here, folks.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. Is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here at RBN. You know, that reminds me, folks, I need to tell you, you know, we have a sponsor here at RBN called SFR. SFR provides more power to your automobile. It's been a leader in extreme pressure technologies for over 20 years. SFR provides, and they produce it themselves, they manufacture it themselves, fuel additive products for automotive and industry that improve performance and extend your equipment life. Now, you can get a free bottle from SFR when you purchase a bottle at the regular price of $9.99 with a money-back guarantee, even on the shipping, which is a pretty good deal. So you buy one bottle at $9.99, and you get a free bottle with it. There are two 888 numbers, folks. I'm going to give those to you. And I'm sorry, there's only one 888 number. It's 888-873-7371. I'm going to give you that number again. It's 888-873-7371. That's SFR. They're one of our good sponsors here at RBN. Give them a call, 888-873-7371. Okay, well, we are going to the phones, and guess what? We do have none other than, well, let's put it this way. We have a Jim from Texas. I'm going to assume it's the Jim from Texas, and we're going to find out in a moment. Jim, are you there?
Yeah, Mike, it's your worst nightmare.
It is the Jim from Texas, our resident cynic.
And I would like to talk about what our good friend Brian from Pennsylvania was talking about.
Okay, go ahead.
Jeff Jacoby's article on the menorah lighting. What he left out, our dear friend Mr. Jacoby, was the closing ceremony of the lighting of the menorah, where the entire Jewish contingent lined up en masse, dropped trowel, and watched the mad scramble from the goyim in attendance, who rushed to attach their lips to the posterior of the Jewish contingent.
Well, you know, maybe he didn't bother writing about that, because that happens every day, every hour, at some place in the United States of America.
Hey, he couldn't write about it because he'd already dropped his trowel, so to speak.
Well, you know, this is really what, you know, we find all this pandering. I periodically read this quote from this Virginia politician who made an obligatory trip to Israel and came back and said, oh, you know, he just never seen such a great little place in his entire life, and it makes him all the more committed to, you know, defending Israel as our great ally and wonderful little friend. And I always ask the question, do politicians talk this way when they come back from Indonesia or Iceland or Ireland? No.
How about our poor brethren in Bolivia with their Hamburg hats and chewing coca leaves? Why doesn't anybody ever mention them?
Jim, I guess it's probably because they don't have much of a lobby here in Washington.
Hey, I've never heard any politician in the United States ever say, I'm going to guarantee the security of the Bolivians, because they have a right to wear their Hamburg hats and chew coca leaves.
And, you know, it's actually, that's kind of an interesting point, because there's possibly only one country in the world that politicians ever really say anything nice about other than Israel, and that might be Taiwan. That's one country where some politicians will have a tendency to say, well, we must protect Taiwan, it's an ally, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But Taiwan definitely does not get the big hello, so to speak, that Israel does.
Mike, if any one individual in Taiwan would ever make a statement and it was attributed to him and it had got into the press about, you know, the Holocaust is a bunch of BS, then we would no longer support Taiwan. They would be. That's the way the system works, Mike. I mean,
well, that's true enough. Yeah. That funny little Holocaust issue just continues to pop up. You know, it's kind of interesting. I spent too much time on it yesterday afternoon, but I happened to be doing some research on the internet, and in the course of it, I came across some 2 or 3 year old material involving myself. I was involved in a forum on the JFK assassination, ostensibly, or I should say, trying to talk about the JFK assassination, but there were a handful of people up there who absolutely did not want to discuss the thesis of my book, Final Judgment. And as I read again, to my own dismay and distress and anger and even sometimes amusement, I found that everybody up there wanted to talk about the Holocaust. They were saying, well, now, Mike Piper denies the Holocaust, so therefore, how can we believe anything he says about anything? So that issue of the Holocaust, even though I don't deny the Holocaust, really, but I mean, everybody says I do, so for the sake of argument, we'll just say that I do, okay? Let's just say for the sake of argument, as my Jewish critics and some of their Christian fundamentalist supporters claim, let's just say I do deny the Holocaust. What do my views on the Holocaust have to do with anything else, whether it happens to be abortion or the JFK assassination or anything else in between. But see, they use this issue of the Holocaust as this political club. Now, I don't need to tell you that, Jim.
No,
but you know, there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people out there listening who don't quite understand it.
Yeah. Well, for all those people out there listening that don't quite understand it, I will state categorically, I deny the Holocaust. Okay. Take it for what it's worth. I'll deny it because I seek the truth. Wherever the truth leads me, I seek the truth. And the Holocaust is one of the greatest myths ever, except possibly that the world is flat and that we are the center of the universe. Well, actually, it's even worse than that because that makes more sense than the Holocaust story.
Well,
so,
you know, Jim, it's kind of funny. Just here in the Washington Post a couple of days ago, or I should say the Washington Times, there was this account of George Bush at a Holocaust memorial in.
Oh, he had tears in his eyes.
Crying,
I read that.
Going boo hoo hoo. Yeah, at the Holocaust museum in Israel, and in this article it mentioned, according to the official version of the story now, that between 1.1 million and 1.3 million people died at the work camp known as Auschwitz. And then, of course, a lot of the accounts of it go on to say that most of those 1.1 to 1.3 million who died were Jews. But, you know, Jim, I remember 30 years ago when I was in high school, I very distinctly remember one of my history books in high school saying that 4 million people died at Auschwitz. Now, I'm not very good at math, but if you take the figure 4 million, which is what the official figure was 30 years ago, and subtract even 1.3 million from it, you still get a very big discrepancy there. But
I intend to award you an honorary degree in Jewish math. No matter how much you subtract from any number, it always equals 6 million.
Well, you know, see, that's exactly the point. And this is the point I try to drive home to people who don't understand the seriousness of why this issue of the Holocaust is something that we need to discuss. Because, you see, in other countries, if you and I were to be talking about this very freely and openly in public and saying we didn't believe the 6 million figure and try to rationally show that even the figures of the numbers who supposedly died at Auschwitz have been pared down, that's considered Holocaust denial, and it's considered very politically incorrect, and we could go to jail for a couple years for having this conversation in Germany or in Italy, in France,
In
Austria,
Europe, with the exception of Spain, which recently overturned the law.
Yeah, so you see, this is what most Americans don't understand, and that's part of the problem. Many Americans find themselves whipped into this Holocaust frenzy, and unfortunately, I find too many of our patriots. I just saw a gun control, an anti-gun control commercial that someone had put on the internet. And they're whipping up again this idea of the Holocaust, and it was because of Hitler taking guns away from the Germans that they had a Holocaust, et cetera, et cetera. Well, Hitler didn't take the guns away from the Germans. That's just simply not true. But a lot of patriots.
Stalin certainly took them away from the Russians, didn't he?
Oh, that's true enough. But,
and Abraham Foxman would definitely like to take them away from us.
Yeah, that's
why.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. The biggest advocates of gun control in the United States of America have been the same groups that have been the biggest advocates of taking prayer out of the schools, and these same groups that I'm talking about are the biggest advocates of Holocaust education in this country, and these same groups are also the biggest advocates of taking away our freedom of speech. These same groups are also some of the primary movers behind the Patriot Act, and yes, I am talking about Jewish groups, not Serbian American groups, not Chinese American groups, not Vietnamese American groups. I'm talking about Jewish groups. These are cold, hard facts, Jim, but they upset a lot of people who don't like to hear us talking about it.
Right, but Mike, if I can digress a little bit, The dilemma of the Hillary Obama, which you started off the show with talking about briefly, that the Democrats and the, communists, I call them Democrats, same difference, but if they've dug themselves a hole, they've been preaching since Eleanor Roosevelt invited Ethel Walters, whatever her name, Waters, to sing that song in 1939 when the blacks were not in favor,
I think that was Marian Anderson.
Oh, whatever.
But anyway, it doesn't matter.
Same difference, black singer. Yeah. But anyhow, Waters was an actress.
Yeah, and she was actually a pretty good singer too, by the way. Yeah.
But they've been advocating that we must allow we's all be equal, the French egalitarianism thing, we's all be equal, and we got to allow them to move ahead. Why don't Hillary step aside if that's what she actually believes? Nobody ever asked that question. If she actually believed that, she and all the other Democrats should step aside and let Obama sweep to victory.
Jim, that, I'll tell you what. If the black Democrats who are backing Barack Obama were to take that attitude, a lot of people would be mad at them. But it seems to me that you're probably a better spokesman for Barack Obama's campaign than even his campaign spokesmen are.
If Hillary and Edwards and all these other people truly believed what they preach, they should all just immediately step aside.
Absolutely. That's interesting. And
would do. If I thought this person was wonderful and deserved the thing, and because he's black and 400 years of slavery and how wonderful South Africa has become since apartheid ended, and if I thought that was what I stated was actually true, I would step aside immediately. I'd say, I'm behind him 100%. This guy is our guy, but you don't see any of them doing that.
I don't think it's going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen because they're all politicians are phonies.
Yeah, that's
the
problem.
We all know that. Hey, you live in that leper colony up there. I don't have to tell you that.
That's right.
Hey,
all right, Jim, I got to move on here.
I'm hogging your time.
Talk to you later.
All righty.
All righty. Let's go to Steve in California. Steve, come on up.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing tonight, Steve?
All
What's
right.
going on?
Earlier you mentioned racism in connection with how it's, not part of the Christian faith. You hit a real core central point there. In Genesis, the first chapter, we're told that God says, let us make man to our image and likeness. That's a core Catholic belief. I speak as a Catholic, a traditional Catholic. And it's self-evident to all people with a conscience, okay? When Adam sinned, it took place, why? Because of the envy of the devil. That's in Book of Wisdom, chapter 2, verses 23 to 25. For God created man incorruptible, in the image of his own likeness he made him. But by the envy of the devil, death came into the world. And they that follow the devil are of the devil's side. What was the devil's temptation? Genesis 3, in the fifth verse. For God doth know that what day soever you shall eat thereof, the fruit that God told them not to eat, Adam and Eve, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods. And you shall be as gods. In other words, if you choose to be your own God, that's the base of racism. Because if you're your own God, in your own image and likeness, then you would be a founder of a race of gods who would look the same as you and be connected by bloodline. And you would consider yourself better than other people. But the apostles, basing themselves on the teaching of Jesus Christ, taught that all men are equal in their creation by God and in his sight. Acts 17, beginning at the 26th verse. And hath made of one all mankind to dwell upon the whole face of the earth, that they should seek God and feel after him and find him, although he is not far from every one of us. Therefore, racism is of the devil to be absolutely condemned. The Catholic faith calls all men to come to salvation in Jesus, and it also calls in the name of Christ, the King of all nations, for equal justice here on earth for all men. This is where the political race comes in. Ron Paul is the only candidate in either party who calls for real justice here on earth for all men. Ipso facto, the only candidate worth voting for is Ron Paul.
That's an interesting perspective on that. There's actually a lot of people out there listening tonight who would disagree with the theological foundation that you outlined there. But you know, putting all that aside, I think what you've said about Ron Paul's candidacy is absolutely correct. You know, he has been consistent in his political approach and in his rhetorical approach, both in the campaign and in all the years that he's been in Congress. You know, now there's these pretty lame attempts to suggest that he's somehow a racist because of a number of things that appeared in his newsletter. But even those things that appeared in his newsletter are almost so esoteric as to be laughable to be called a racist. And they are so esoteric that if you tried to explain to the average person, black or white, why the things that he said were esoteric, they'd probably, or why they are supposedly racist. Hold on there for a minute, Steve.
Okay.
Hang on for the break. This is Michael Collins Piper. We are going to the break, and then we are going to be wrapping up the hour. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to RepublicBroadcasting.org.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Welcome back. We're wrapping up the hour here. We have Steve aboard from California. Steve, yeah, I was just going to point out before the break that these efforts to make Ron Paul look like a racist are based on such esoteric comments that were either made by Paul himself or passing comments made in his newsletter, which he says he didn't even write himself. Most people wouldn't understand why they were supposed to be racist one way or the other. But on the whole, Ron Paul's campaign you know, has been one that has abandoned the traditional pandering that you find in presidential elections. And you know, it seems to me that he's saying he's presenting a program that's beneficial to everybody with, you know, no special privileges to anyone. And I don't see any problem with that.
No, people are basically at the point, I think, in this country where they would agree with you. And, you know, for the Democrats, like, you know, whether it be Hillary or whoever, to throw those kind of charges or to have somebody working for them throw the charges at Ron Paul just makes the Democrats look like a bunch of old-time Dixiecrats, you know. it's going to backfire on them big time because Ron Paul is a gentleman and he treats people well, and that's what's going to come through. They're going to look as stupid as Brent Hume staring at Ron Paul because he couldn't, you know, dent Ron Paul's armor. And
yeah, mm-hmm.
It's exactly what's going to happen, and is happening. So let them throw what they want, and it just isn't going to, you know, affect it.
Yeah, you know what it is, I think, with Ron Paul? It's that the average person who does see Ron Paul on the debates or the average person of, you know, the average honest person with any intellect whatsoever, when they see Ron Paul, it is a case of what I've always said, what you see is what you get, and there's no mystery about that. It's these people who are so concerned about Ron Paul actually having an impact of reaching the average person. They're the ones who are trying to stir up all these scare stories about him to try to drive people away from him. But I don't think the average honest person who is exposed to Ron Paul is going to have a negative opinion of him.
No, they won't, because he comes across as his real person, his real self.
Yes, exactly.
And they come across as the packaged, false. I mean, when Hillary tries to look nice and pleasant and sweet, I mean, especially when she tries to look sweet, I mean, people must be falling off their chairs, because then she'll revert and you'll see the real Hillary come out later, you know? And it just isn't going to fly. I mean, that's not Hillary. Hillary is a chipmunk from hell, and that's all there is.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's an interesting description. You know, back early in the 1996 presidential campaign, back very early on, I had an opportunity to meet Bill and Hillary Clinton at a very intimate gathering. And the person who was supposed to take me there canceled out on it at the last minute, so I didn't get to go. But I really would have treasured that opportunity to meet those people and see them in person. This was going to be a relatively small gathering of maybe about 25 or 30 people, so I would have actually been able to talk to these people. It would have been an interesting experience, just for the record, because those two are cut from a mold that is not frequently replicated, so to speak.
Yeah, thank God too.
Yeah, thank God for that. That's exactly right.
You know, so
all right. Well, listen, Steve, thanks for your call. We had a couple other callers here. We didn't have time to bring them up tonight, but we will be here tomorrow night, God willing, and I invite them to call in along with the rest of you who choose to say what you have to say here on this Free Speech Hour at republicbroadcasting.org. This is Michael Collins Piper. I'm signing off for the evening. I'm going to go to bed, folks. I'm tired. Have a good evening. See you here tomorrow night.
Since 19